Futures Radio Show, sponsored by CME Group, the world's leading and most diverse futures and options exchange. CME Group's markets help individuals and businesses around the world effectively manage risk. For access to free educational tools and resources for the active individual trader, please visit activetrader.cmegroup.com.
Every day, traders and investors dive in to tackle the ever-changing markets to find opportunity. Futures Radio Show is your number one source for answers to the questions that all market participants want to ask. Veteran futures trader Anthony Crudele sits down with the most influential leaders and top traders in the industry. Now, here's your host, Anthony Crudele.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in for this episode with Tim McCourt. Remember, new shows are posted on Mondays and Thursdays. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes and YouTube. If you're enjoying the show, please leave a review on iTunes. Before I play today's interview for you, I want to give a shout out to the great sponsors of Futures Radio Show. CME Group, Trading Technologies, RJO Futures, and Top Step Trader. To learn more about these sponsors and the important things they are doing for futures traders, be sure to click on their logos on our website. Today, I spoke with the Managing Director of Global Head of Equity Index and Alternative Investment Products, Tim McCourt. Tim and I chatted about the launch of the Micro E-mini Futures. We compared stats from the micros to the bigger E-mini products and discussed how the micros compare to ETFs. Tim went over exchange fees and specs, and last but not least, he explained how and why Micro E-mini Futures were developed. So without further ado, let me take you right to the interview with Tim. Tim, tell everybody what it is that you do at CME Group.
I'm the Global Head of Equity Index and Alternative Investment Products. And what that means is I manage a team globally at CME that looks after our global equity index benchmark business, such as the S&P 500, the NASDAQ, the Dow, and the Russell, as well as alternative investments such as commodity indices and cryptocurrency. My team is responsible for new product development, managing the marketplace with respect to market structure, rulebook evolution, and working with our sales teams and our research teams to make sure CME continues to listen to customers to deliver demand-driven, innovative product solutions that enhance both access to the market as well as customers' risk management capabilities in trading futures and options and futures at CME.
So, Tim, you've been at CME for a while. Give us a little rundown of the products that you've developed.
Yeah, it's hard to believe it was 6 years at CME back in April, and it's been a fantastic experience thus far. Some of the products that my team has put out previously has been BTIC on the majors, which is the basis trade index at close product. That's on Globex and block eligible across the major index products, as well as we recently expanded that to the international indices with the topics and the Nikkei. We also introduced TACO, which is everyone's favorite name product. Stands for Trade at Cash Open, which is basically BTIC for the open. We've also did Total Return Futures, where that is a swap alternative product in future form. We also brought the Russell 2000 back to CME. You know, we signed that deal back in 2015, but launched that Russell 2000 contract back in July of 2017. My team also was responsible for bringing the CME Group Bitcoin Futures to market back in December of 2017. So it's been a wild 6 years. It's been exciting. It's been a lot of fun. And yesterday was truly a memorable day where we brought our latest and greatest best project to the market with the launch of the Micro E-mini Futures.
Tim, you've already been a part of some really big product launches in your 6 years at CME Group, but the micros did over 310,000 total contracts on day one. Has to be the biggest product launch that I have seen in my 23-year career working as a trader or a clerk at CME Group. How do you compare the launch of the micros to other products you've launched at CME?
Andy, I mean, we're ecstatic here at CME. My team is immensely thrilled with the success, but it really is a firm-wide success and a shining example of what CME can accomplish for our customers and for the market when we come together looking to deliver these types of products and provide greater access to our markets for participants. I can't share enough how excited everyone is here. It's truly fascinating to watch yesterday, you know, where we did put up 310,072 contracts across all four micros, you know, with the S&P doing a little over 159,000, the NASDAQ doing about 92,000, the Russell doing just about 34,000, the Dow 25,000. I mean, those are amazing numbers on an individual basis, let alone in aggregate, you know, doing 310,000. And when we look back at things like the launch of the E-mini S&P on Globex back in the 90s, you know, a few decades ago, the E-mini S&P did a little over 7,000 contracts its first day when it debuted on Globex. So to see the micro S&P 500 contract do almost 160,000 contracts is phenomenal. You know, when you're developing products, a lot of hard work goes into it. It's always exciting going into launch day. I think everyone's always optimistic. We know things are going to be successful, but it's always a question of when and what does that runway look like. And I think it's safe to say yesterday's record performance in the micro E-minis exceeded a lot of people's expectations here at CME. I'm sure a lot of people's expectations streetwide.
Oh, no doubt. I knew this was going to be huge, but I had no idea it was going to take off this quickly. And I want to stay on the stats for a minute here because I'm curious to see how the stats of the micros are compared to the E-mini stats. So one of the stats that I was looking at when I was looking at the total volume was how the E-mini S&P was 51% of the total volume of the micros. The NASDAQ was 30%. The Russell was 11%. And the Dow was 8%. So I'm curious, is that in line with the bigger products, or did we see a change in percentages with the launch of the micros?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when you look at it yesterday, the fact that the participation was reasonably dispersed amongst the four micros, that's great to see. You know, and let's just call it half the volume in the micro ES and half the volume in the other three micros is great. When we compare that to the classic size or bigger size regular E-mini S&P 500 contract, year to date in 2019, that's about 65% of our futures volume amongst the four major indices at CME. And the NASDAQ is about 20% on the NQ, the NASDAQ 100 E-mini, when looking at the volumes, with the Russell being about 9% and the Dow being about 6% for the classic E-mini varietals. So when you look at the more balanced participation across the micros, I really think that speaks volumes to the interest in these smaller size contracts. And it's not surprising. You look at something like the NASDAQ 100, and that remains a very hot trade and a very hot topic amongst the active individual trading community, as well as the institutional community. So I think that's why we're seeing some outsized size in the NASDAQ, as well as the Russell. When you look at the Russell, that is a kind of a US-based trade that I think market participants like to trade. There's a lot of price action in the small cap space. It has a different volatility profile than the NASDAQ and even the S&P. So I think the fact that we've seen this participation, I think, just reinforces the message and the thesis that there are a broader set of participants out there that are excited and coming to see me to manage their risk and to access the market.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with that. And I want to stay in the stats for just a moment here. One of the things that I wanted to see out of the gates on the launch of the micros was the tick spread. Can you share with us any stats on what the tick spread was on day one?
Yeah, that's a great question. And when I was watching it on Sunday night, I think first things that I was very pleased to see are that both the micro E-mini S&P contract and the micro E-mini NASDAQ contract, both were showing one tick wide markets on Sunday evening, so during the Asia trading hours. And that was a great, you know, development, kind of first milestone you're watching, is you want that market to kind of get tight and right for market participants to trade in. And then as we entered the U.S. trading day yesterday morning, what was really encouraging to see is when we look at the micro E-mini contract, that was averaging between 1 and 1.4, so between 1 and 1.5 tick wide throughout the day. But the divergence from the classic ES contract, you know, the E-mini S&P 500 contract, they were moving in lockstep. You know, there was very little difference between the ticks. I think after the first hour of trading, for the first trading day, they stayed relatively tighter than one tick differential between them, meaning they're moving in lockstep. And I think when we look at the things like the NASDAQ, that bid-ask spread was between 1.5 and 2.5 ticks wide during the U.S. trading day. And the Russell, which tends to be a little bit wider, was about this, you know, was between 2 and 2.5. So all these contracts performed really, really well for their first day of trading and really proved and delivered that thesis that we had here at CME, is that we could avail that liquidity pool on the traditional E-minis to more parts of the market by making it a smaller, more approachable contract. So the fact that you saw that market structure kind of coalesce and move in lockstep and move in tandem was great to see on day one.
For traders on a busy Sunday night to come out and start making markets in these products right out of the gates told me a lot. You know, I was watching the movement and I'm going, man, there's people out there making markets in this thing right out of the gates. And I was really impressed by that because I felt a lot of people were going to probably watch it initially just to see how it was going to react. And there was just people trading it right out of the gates. It was like it was a product for many years.
Absolutely. Super exciting to watch. It reminded me watching it on Sunday where you not only had the market forming and, you know, 10 plus levels of depth being displayed. It also kind of reminded me back to some of my graduate school days when you're thinking here about like the marketing and the conjoint analysis and trying to personify customer demand. I feel like we launched this product right into the sweet spot of customer demand. It was very pleased to see kind of the response from customers so strong Sunday night and remain strong and even get stronger throughout the trading day yesterday. It was an amazing thing to watch.
Did you anticipate the micros to trade in such lockstep with the bigger products right out of the gates the way they did?
It's something we were anticipating for sure, but I don't necessarily think we thought it would coalesce this quickly. You know, when you're launching any new product, even for products on established indices and things that people are familiar with, it usually takes a little bit for liquidity providers to fine-tune their algos and fine-tune that liquidity provision. And some customers want to take a watch and see or a wait and see approach before they start taking liquidity. So you never quite know when these people are going to kind of meet in the middle and really hit that sweet spot. It reminds me, even when we go back to like the Russell 2000 launch at CME back in July of 2017, that's a classic example where everyone knows the Russell 2000 index. It was an incumbent product where it was at CME before it traded at ICE. CME was bringing it back. It was still trading at ICE when we launched it. So there was price discovery was happening. People were familiar. And that still only did a few thousand contracts the first day because people wanted to fine tune all of the parts of the ecosystem. And then it grew from there. So the fact that this all happened very quickly on day one across four major indices. I mean, it's hard enough to capture kind of lightning with one product, but be able to do it on all four products all on day one. And relatively for it to see it happen in the Asia trading session and then grow even stronger in the U.S. trading session. I mean, that is exciting to watch and I think surpassed our wildest expectations.
Hey, everyone. I hope you're enjoying the show so far, but I want to pause and thank one of our sponsors, Trading Technologies. I started using TT in the year 2000 and I love it. It is by far the best trading platform I have ever used and I've tried a lot of them. With TT, you can trade the global markets from virtually anywhere in the world. They are the world's fastest commercially available futures trading platform. I highly suggest you go try out TT, especially because you can try it for free. Just go to tryttnow.com and set up your account. Do you have any stats on the participation of traders around the globe? Was it primarily U.S.? Was it Europe? I'm just curious how widespread the participation was.
Yeah, the micro E-mini launch at CME was certainly a global phenom where we had about 20% of the volume came from outside the U.S., which is fantastic to see for an established product, let alone on the day one launch. And we actually had trades occur from 75 different countries across the globe. So when you think about the global reach of CME, the fact that we were able to tap into that so quickly end day one, I think really just speaks to the worldwide customer demand for the right-sized, micro-sized e-mini futures product at CME.
Yeah, that's really good news for the futures industry, knowing that you're seeing retail traders around the globe participate in a new product launch on day one. I love hearing that. I think a lot of people are going to be using these micros in place of ETFs. How do you compare the micros to ETFs?
That's another great question. You know, where when we look at the customer demand for this product, it was overwhelmingly strong from the active individual trader who, you know, is already trading single stocks or trading ETFs or trading options. They may already be trading futures at CME or on other exchanges globally. So when we introduce this product, I think it does two things. One, not only by making it a smaller contract, it makes it more approachable from a capital perspective, but secondly, it avails that liquidity that people are used to in the E-mini or the global index, which are the most actively traded products for equity indices across the globe, and now makes it easier in terms of being one-tenth the size. And that stacks up really nicely when trading it alongside the ETF. One of the things that we were hearing, and one of the reasons why we moved forward with the product launch, is even those futures traders who were actively trading CME products often had to liquidate their futures holding if they wanted to move back into the cash market. Right, if they wanted to partake in something like the FANG trade, or they wanted to trade, say, the Q ETF or the Diamond ETF, they often had to sell out of their futures position to free up capital in their account. So we were inadvertently forcing people to make this either-or decision between the two. With the micro-sized contract, now they don't have to sell one E-mini. They could break off a few micros if they want to reallocate their account. Or if they're super long the FANG trade in their securities account, they could use the micro NASDAQ to hedge it and not recognize a tax event. Or they could scale up or down their position using the capital efficiencies of the future. So I really think that the micro futures at CME on the E-mini product really are complementary to the ETF trading, but provide a great alternative if someone wants to use them in lieu of ETFs or in conjunction with. It's a great opportunity for the active trader.
We talked about early on how you've been involved in so many really big product launches. Tim, talk us through how the process of these micros got developed and share with us how they actually end up going from an idea to becoming a reality.
Sure. So like a lot of product development recently we've seen at CME, it's always in response to identified and clearly understood customer demand. We really engage with market participants to understand what their risk management needs are, and does CME have the capabilities to innovate or deliver a world-class product to meet that risk management need, or to provide better access to the market when they're looking to trade their risk or implement a strategy or express a view on the market. So a lot of times what we do is we actually have a multi-stage process here at CME that starts with an idea screen. And we say, you know, something like, is this right? Can this idea, survive in the market? Can we build a viable liquid two-way market around this that is additive to our customers' trading experience? And then we really go and validate it externally with customers from across the spectrum, whether they're buy-side participants, retail participants, liquidity providers, market makers, proprietary trading firms. You know, we really try to validate it across all the multiple customer personas that exist at CME. And then when we have that feedback of, is this a good idea and do customers want it? There's always a little bit of a commercial question for CME is, what is the investment it's going to take to make this product successful? And is it a revenue opportunity for us? You know, these are things that we have to balance, where not every idea or every product, no matter how good it is, sometimes they can be too expensive to make them viable in the market, or it might not be the right timing. So once we kind of have that customer demand personified and quantified, we then look at, does it make sense now? And I think the micros is a great example of that. This is an idea that we've been talking about in years for CME. And when we were looking at it, it always made sense that, yes, of course, a smaller contract could be beneficial. I mean, we have that in our playbook. That's how we first introduced the E-mini, by splitting the standard size PID-based contracts, right, back in the 90s and then the early 2000s for NASDAQ and Russell. But when we were looking at more directly targeting the active individual trader, it made even more and better sense in 2019, given the strong growth that segment had in 2018. You know, were they up? They were up 27% as a retail segment at CME in 2018, trading over 660,000 contracts a day. And that growth was even larger in Europe, where it was about up 30% for the retail segment and up 36% of the retail segment in Asia. So that really gave us the strong signal that 2019 was the time to launch the micro E-mini futures. So it's really kind of these confluence of events that needs to come together with respect to the idea has to be good, customers have to want it, CME has to be able to deliver it, and then the time of launch makes sense in terms of we want to launch products in response to strong demand such that they are adapted and adopted on day one like the micros were yesterday.
Why did you guys decide to go a tenth of the size?
Good question. So we actually validated this extensively with customers, and that was kind of the sweet spot of the feedback. The range was a little bit all over the place in terms of going even smaller than one-tenth the size to maybe half the size or one-fifth the size, but most people thought one-tenth was the appropriate size and trying to kind of target that $14,000 contract value for S&P and NASDAQ was critical given how that shapes up against the number of ETFs a customer could trade and things like that, you know, where one micro S&P is worth about 50 shares of SPY ETF. So we're kind of looking at, if we're looking at an active individual trader, what do we think the appropriate size is? And that's where kind of one-tenth really came from. We also looked at validating things like market structure. You know, as we were targeting the more active individual trader, we were looking at, you know, what is the right market structure? What is the right tick size or the minimum price increment of the contract? So it wasn't even just the contract size, but the feedback was overwhelming that it should be about one-tenth the size and it should look and feel just like the classic E-mini versions of all these index products, but just smaller. So keep the minimum price increment the same, keep the settlement price the same, keep the settlement functionality the same, the listing cycle the same, just make it smaller was the overwhelming feedback that we got from customers.
Talk to us about how you decided on exchange fees for these products and share with us any specs maybe that we didn't mention so far today.
Sure. So, I mean, it's always challenging when launching a new kind of slate of products to make sure the fees are appropriately set. That's something that we do through an internal process with extensive conversations about looking at product alternatives, such as in this case for micros, what are the ETF commissions? What are single stock commissions? And CME has a degree of kind of, you know, set and fixed costs that we need to recoup. So it's hard to say that just because micros are one-tenth the size, fees necessarily can't be one-tenth the size. That's not quite the way it works with fees in terms of recouping CME's investment in the product, as well as making sure we have a long-term viable revenue-generating business for all our shareholders out there. But it is something that we look at, what is the fees versus the value of a tick or the contract value. So there are some factors that go in there, but that is something that we largely work on internally and don't necessarily validate externally with customers to the same extent we do with other features such as product specs or tick size. So kind of going into your second question, when we look at the four micro contracts, they are all one-tenth the size. So that means for the micro E-mini S&P, that's a $5 contract value. For the micro NASDAQ 100, that's a $2 contract multiplier. The micro Russell is a $5 multiplier, and the micro Dow is 50 cents. So those are all one-tenth the classic E-mini contract size. They're available on Globex 24 hours a day, Sunday night through Friday afternoon from a U.S. perspective. And the minimum price fluctuations or the tick value is the same as the E-mini. So that's a quarter for the S&P and NASDAQ. It's a dime or, you know, 0.1 for Russell and one index point or $1 for the Dow, which makes the value of the ticks also kind of one-tenth the size here. You're seeing a common theme here for our micros. So while the E-mini S&P is $12.50 per tick in terms of value, the micro S&P is $1.25. The NASDAQ is 50 cents, as well as the Russell and Dow are also 50 cents in terms of the value of one tick. They're all listed on the same quarterly cycle of March, June, Sep, and December, where it expires the third Friday in those months against the index opening price, and they're cash settled. So they're, you know, just a smaller, right-sized version of the E-mini that everyone's grown to love over the last decades, and we look forward to growing these contracts over the decades to come.
Excellent, Tim. Tim, where can people go to learn more about the details of these micros?
Yes, there's a few different places they can go to. And we certainly, you know, CME promotes the education aspect that we have on our contract at activetrader.cmegroup.com, as well as they can go to our parent, you know, the main website, cmegroup.com/microemini, and all the information they need to educate themselves and to learn how to trade these products are right at their fingertips.
Great stuff as always, Tim. Where can people find you on social media?
Sure, yes. You can certainly find me on social media on Twitter. My handle is at Tim McCourt, CME. So they can certainly follow me there. They could also follow CME Active Trader, where that handle is at CME Active Trader for more information as well. You know, and we have equity index showcase pages on LinkedIn, as well as the CME Group Twitter handle. And CME also recently joined Instagram for all those IG followers out there. You know, follow CME on social media.
Tim, thank you so much for coming on Futures Radio Show today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to Futures Radio Show. If you have any questions or comments for myself or my guests, please visit futuresradioshow.com and sign up to be a premium member for free. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes.